بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, I am sure many of us have heard this statement: Islam means peace. I submit to you that Islam really means submission. A Muslim is the one who submits to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how does that translate into peace? Because when we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we become responsible for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us for, and that is for the establishment of justice. When justice is established, peace is the result. Peace is an effect. Peace is not a cause. Peace is the effect. The cause of peace is justice. And justice happens when people submit to the divine law, when people submit to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give you an example of the difference between a divine law and man-made laws, take the issue of drugs. Islam is against all drugs, all intoxicants, all things that lead to addiction, and all things that lead to altering our perception and altering our mind. Whether that is alcohol, whether it is marijuana, whether it is cocaine, whether it is LSD, whether it is heroin, whether it is cigarettes, because cigarettes are addictive and cigarettes are, they destroy you from inside, and they are also, they change perception. All of this, Islam is against all of these. And whatever else may come in the future, and there are so many more, I'm sure I have missed some. I don't regret some blanks in my knowledge space. There are some things which are better not to know. But the point I'm making is that Islam is against all of these. On the other hand, if you look at man-made laws today, alcohol, even though it's a drug, is not seen as a drug. Alcohol is considered legal. People above a certain age are permitted to legally consume alcohol. Alcohol is a tax-deductible expense in many countries. If you have alcohol, if you serve alcohol in your official parties, you can write it off on your tax as an expense. Cigarettes, even though by law, big warnings, and in some countries, very graphic and horrific photographs of lung cancer and throat cancer are legally supposed to be printed on cigarette packets, yet the manufacture and sale of cigarettes is not illegal. My brothers and sisters, what is legal and what is moral are many times two different things. And it's a good idea to keep that in mind, because not everything legal is necessarily moral. Slavery was legal at one time. Apartheid was legal. The Holocaust was legal. Colonialism was legal. Legality is a matter of power, not justice. And Islam stands for justice, not for the unbridled use of power. I think it is important for us to keep these things in mind when we are talking about Islam. So we are saying that this justice happens because people decide to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they decide to submit to the law which is the divine law. Without that, you cannot have justice, because human perception changes from time to time. In the 60s, people who smoked marijuana to enjoy themselves, which is recreational use of marijuana, were sent to jail. Today, recreational use of marijuana is legal in many countries. So, is it the people who went to jail now, are they going to be given compensation for the time that they spent in prison? Or what's going to happen? This is the problem with man-made laws, which are, as I mentioned to you, same thing with alcohol, same thing with cigarettes. Because they make money, because of various other reasons, things which are intrinsically harmful are permitted in societies, whereas Islam says what is harmful is harmful, what is good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to use things which are good and leave things which are harmful. And this is what Islam is all about. And that comes from submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the divine law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Now, when we submit, the result of that submission is the establishment of justice, and the result of establishment of justice is peace. So, Islam means submission, the result of which is peace. The reason I'm saying all this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, where he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وإن تبدوا ما في أنفسكم أو تخفوه يحاسبكم به الله فيغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء والله على كل شيء قدير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, which means, he said, all that there is in the heavens and the earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whether you disclose what is in your own selves, what's in your hearts, what's in your minds, or conceal it, Allah will call you to account for it. And then he will forgive, or he forgives whom he wills and punishes whom he wills. And Allah is able to do all things. Now this ayat of the Quran, which I think most of us are familiar with this ayat, the last ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, when this ayat was revealed, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that this ayat was very heavy on the Sahaba radiallahu alayhi ajma'in. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they literally fell down on their knees before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't make sajda to him, they just went down on their knees before him. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to pray and we pray. Allah ordered us to pay zakat and we pay zakat. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he will call us to account for what is in our hearts, what is within ourselves. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have control over our speech and we have control over our actions and we try to keep them in control and we try to do what Allah has ordered us to do. But we have no control over our thoughts. We have no control over our desires and whatever comes into our heart. Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish us for that, then we'll be destroyed. Now, my brothers and sisters, before I tell you what the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, I ask you to think about the question yourself and say that what the Sahaba were saying, does it sound reasonable to you? That they are saying this, they are not objecting, but they are worried and they're concerned that if Allah holds them accountable for what is in their hearts, then this will be the means of destruction. Now, do you think this is reasonable? Right? You think it's reasonable. See what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. When they said this, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blessed face became red with anger. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, are you going to be like those who said, Samana wa Asaina? We hear, but we will not obey. He said, say, Qul, Samana wa Atana, Ghufranaka Rabbana wa Ilayka al-Masir. He said, say, we owe our Rabb, we hear and we obey, and we seek your forgiveness, our Rabb, and to you is our return. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you to think about this. Now, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that when this happened, the Sahaba said, Sama'ana wa ata'ana, ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. As far as they were concerned, the matter is over. They had asked a question, they got a response, and that was it. And what do you think happened? Nothing happened. The skies didn't open, Jibreel Islam did not come down, no new wahi was revealed. Nothing happened. And how long did nothing happen? Nothing happened for 12 months. Now see, this is the rigor and this is the power and the strength which with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajma'in. And that's the reason why their iman became so strong. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase and strengthen our iman without the tests, because we don't have the strength to bear the tests. So that's why their iman became so strong, because this is how they were tested and this is how they were strengthened by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So for 12 months, nothing happened. If you read the Asbab al-Nuzul of this ayat in Waqidi's book, Asbab al-Nuzul, you will see all of this. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this and they repeated. Now, after 12 months, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. all of us know this ayat. There is a lot of barakah in this ayat, a lot of fazilat in this ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلنا آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believes in what has been sent down to him from his Rabb, and so do the believers. Now this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bearing witness to the belief and the iman and the yaqeen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahaba. Each one believes in Allah, his malaika, his angels, his kitab, his kutub, his books, and his rasul, his messengers. And they say, we make no distinction between one and another of his messengers. And they say, we hear and we obey. O Rabb, we seek your forgiveness, and to you is the return of all of us. Subhanallah, this is the wages of obedience. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was the one who bore witness to the obedience and to the iman of the of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the sahaba. Allah said, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. This ayat is so beautiful. There are two things, two aspects to this ayat. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated part of the ayat which he revealed first. And Allah said, Allah does not burden a person beyond his scope. Allah does not give a person more difficulty than he can bear. He gets reward for that good which he has earned, and he is punished for that evil which he has earned. So he will be given good and evil only on what he has earned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted the sahaba by this ayat, and he taught them how to make dua. Now think about this. Imagine, ta'ala Allahul Amthal, imagine that you are going to somebody, a critical person in your life, maybe the CEO of your company, maybe the governor of a province, or whatever the case might be, somebody from whom you need a favor, and you have to write this application which that person needs to approve. So now you're worried and you're wondering, what can I write in this application? How can I write it in such a way that the approving authority, the approver, likes what I have written and will approve the application? Now at that time, the approver himself tells you, write it like this. He is dictating to you what should go in the application. Now, how beautiful is that? Because the one who is dictating the application is the one who is going to approve that application. So if you apply the way he or she dictated that application, then obviously that application will be approved. So here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself teaching the sahaba how to make dua. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the sahaba, make dua like this, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ربنا لا الله سبحانه وتعالى said ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. Allah says, O Allah, O our Rabb, do not punish us if we forget or if we fall into error, if we make mistakes. And then Allah سبحانه وتعالى said, إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. And he says, O our Rabb, do not lay on us a burden like that which you laid on those before us. The people who passed before us, who had huge burdens which were laid on them, and some passed that test, some could not pass that test. Allah is saying here, make dua for afiyah. Ya Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiyah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyah. Personally for ourselves and collectively for all of us. In Rabbana, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-afiyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this dua to his uncle Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. So we say, oh Allah, we ask you for afia. So Allah is saying, Allah is teaching this thing here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, is teaching them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Rabbana wa la tahmil alayna isran kama hamaltahu ala alladhina min qablina. Rabbana wa la tuhammilna ma la taqata lana bih. And Allah says, oh Allah, do not lay on us a burden like you laid on those before us. And oh our Rabb, do not put on us a burden greater than we have the strength to bear. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that. And then, wa'afu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, anta maulana, fansurna ala al-qawmi al-kafirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and then say, oh Allah, grant us, pardon us, and grant us forgiveness. Have mercy on us. You are our maula. You are our patron, supporter, protector. And please give us victory over our enemies, over the people who disbelieve. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us what the dua that we have asked. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all forms of misguidance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.